My guess guarantees genuine God encounters like Paul and others in the Bible, if you follow his heavenly downloaded instructions. Next. Joshua Giles dreamed of playing professional baseball. He'd do anything to achieve it. He said a prayer at 12, but never had a personal relationship with God. And at 22 years old, he was about to encounter a curveball that he never saw coming. Joshua, suddenly in your life, the supernatural became more real than the real. What happened?
Absolutely. You know, at 22 years old, I began to, it's funny because there's a thin layer between the natural and the supernatural. And one day God just lifted the blinds and literally the supernatural world became so much more real than the natural. And I'm like, what is going on here? It was terrifying because the first thing that I began to see was what was affecting my life, what I had allowed in my life through, you know, sticking my hand into iniquity or sin or things that we just don't think may not have consequences. We don't realize some of the things we allow into our life. And I remember seeing all these demonic entities lining up every night coming to, attack me. And I couldn't sleep. I remember sleeping with the light on. Didn't even want to go to the bathroom at night.
That doesn't work out too well when you're an athlete.
Oh, no, God.
I mean, if you don't sleep, you don't have your endurance.
Oh, I was tired. I had to go to school and 8 hours of baseball. So it was tormenting in the sense of exhaustion. And that really led me to the point of where I was just done with it. And I cried out one night in prayer and I said, God, kill me or deliver me. And that's when everything began to change.
What happened?
I went to a game the very next day when I'm playing a team never played before in my life. I'm in the outfield. We're having our pregame, ritual, so to speak, for baseball where everybody's, preparing for the game. And a young man from another team came over and he looked at me and he says, you had a car wreck 5 years ago the devil tried to kill you in, which I did. I hit a guy head on at 80 miles an hour when I was 18 years old and walked out that night from the hospital. One of the first times that God began to protect me. And he says, you're being attacked at night by demons. God wants to deliver you. And I'm sitting here like, what in the world is this? But I felt it, and I had to pray the prayer the night before. Next thing you know, he lays hands on me. I feel the presence and power of God touch me. I've never felt that free and uplifting, like a weight had been lifted off of me. So I go back to the dugout and I'm just rocking back and forth like God's called me, God's called me. And my teammates look at me like, you're crazy. What are you doing, And all I could focus on was no more baseball. I was focusing on what just happened here.
But your whole life was baseball. I mean, in every level you were at, you excelled. You were the best.
Yes.
And you had a sure type of career in professional baseball. And just in a second?
Yeah, in a blink of an eye, I felt my heart's transition because I'd never encountered nothing at that level when it came to God. And it really threw me for a loop because I'm like, wow, there is something way more intense than just my desire that I've had my whole life. My desire for the things of the Spirit became so much more greater, even though I had no knowledge of that stuff.
But you just walked away.
I walked away, left scholarship.
What'd you tell your parents?
I called them one night and said, I'm in another state, I'm in a ministry. And they're like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? You got school, you got scholarship, you've got, baseball, you still got another year of school and all this. And I'm like, I just knew that God had positioned me there, just like I knew my name. I knew.
Do you remember after you made that decision and left baseball, your first supernatural encounter?
Absolutely. Life-changing. I still talk about it to this day. I remember being taken in the Spirit and I'm holding the Bible and there's electric blue lightning all over it, and I'm hearing it popping like a popcorn. And I look in the distance and I saw massive mountains. And it's wild because when you're in a revelational moment, you just know. And I knew, even though without reading the Bible, I knew that I needed to swing the Bible like a sword, and it began to level the mountains. Now, after that happened, there was a bright light on the Bible I was holding that was growing very intently, so much so that it would blind a natural, a natural person. And I heard the thump, like all around me, like a ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. you know, like a drum. And I'm like, what is that sound? And I knew that it was coming from the Bible. And so I looked at the Bible and my eyes was able to pierce past the light. And I saw a physical heart inside the Bible beating. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's the heart of God. And immediately I heard an angel scream at the top of his voice, it's alive. And I was back in my body. Now, when I came out of that moment, I knew that the Word of God was not just a book, not just something we check off as a daily ritual, but it was a living, breathing organism. It was the breath of God.
And so when you had that vision, you even pursued God more and separated yourself. You even went into a fast.
Oh, yes, definitely. So I began to fast and saw, I was an athlete, so fasting 3 hours was almost impossible because you're constantly training and eating and training and eating before your muscles to grow. And so, you know, I would fast 6 hours and thought I was like, you know, it was killing me. And then I was like, God, give me the grace to do 12. Give me the grace to do 24. Then 3 days, then 7 days. And then after 7 days, I did my first 40-day fast and really walked into a whole nother dimension by doing that.
What are some of the advantages for you from that fasting?
Oh, the fasting was clarity of mind. I was able to, you know, think and articulate things. Strategies were coming to me. It was like God was able to clearly speak, and I was able to hear and understand that it was Him. It's almost like the old radio dials where you're, you know, you're tuning in and you hear the static. You're trying to find your favorite station. You're like, yeah, I can't hear it, but I know I'm hearing a sound. And then you lock in. And so fasting really opens up your perception to the things of the Spirit and makes it a lot easier to flow.
And even during the fast, you then moved into 700 days of visitations and training by God.
Yes.
You know, it reminds me, when he was in baseball, he put every fiber of his being into baseball. And when you realized Jesus was real, you put every fiber of your being into Jesus. Tell me about some of these visitations.
Oh, man, it was wild to, you know, so to speak. Most of the encounters were not fun. They were training grounds of encountering the demonic and witchcraft, and principalities would visit me. I could literally go to another state just to, you know, on a visitation, like if we're going to...
But why would God allow a witch to visit you as a new believer? What was he doing?
He was training me. Just like David was trained with the lion, the bear, Goliath, Saul, you know, there was training grounds in the Spirit that God was building my resume. And I didn't understand that. And through that perspective, I began to learn secrets on how to engage the enemy and not lose. And so there was a lot of times where, you know, I would go into a scenario and, you know, I would mess up because I'm being trained. And I would come out of it and the Holy Spirit would begin to tell me, you should approach it this way. Next time this happens, do this. And so I began to write out everything that he showed me, learned it in the natural, and just meditated upon it so that when the supernatural experiences happened, I went in with a different authority.
What did God show you about fear?
Fear. Oh, man. So fear is...
Because that's the number one spirit that people are dealing with today worldwide. Fear. That's his name. Go ahead.
Yes, fear is an illusion. So Satan is a master illusionist. I mean, he wants to come out and look so much more powerful than God, so much more scarier than you knowing who God is. And anytime you fear, you automatically disconnect yourself from the fire of the Holy Spirit, from faith to overcome the situation. And I learned through an encounter, one of the first times God took me into a battle was I was on fire. When he took me in the Spirit by my neck, I remember he took me out and dropped me in a scenario. And I knew that there was a witch on the other side, but I was on fire. And I said, what are you doing here? And they responded, you know why I'm here. And the moment I heard their voice, because it sounded very scary, I did that. And just that little inkling was fear. And it only took a little dot. And immediately I lost the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like naked. How do I fight this? And God's hand began to push me to encounter. And I was screaming and clawing. I didn't want to do it. Brought me back to my body. And when I woke up, he says, you need to understand, you must engage and destroy. Never fear, never flee the enemy. Only the wicked flee when no one's pursuing them. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. So I took a whole new perspective of when something is placed in front of me, I don't even think about it, I charge it. The moment you catch the revelation of pursuing him, he is terrified because he's like, oh my goodness, this one knows now.
You talk a great deal about ascending the mountain. Briefly explain that.
Yes, so I know that God wants to take his people into encounters with him. It's not just for the super believer or the man and woman on the pulpit or the preacher. It's for every believer. The veil was torn for a reason. We are granted access into the Holy of Holies. And so when we begin to press into God's presence and we begin to say, God, change my heart, change me from the inside out.
Excuse me, I know God showed you the secrets of ascending the mountain. You use a term that a lot of believers use, press in. What does that mean?
Very, very simplistic terms. To press in, literally, I take my heart because it is the key to everything. We search the scripture, we see that God is more focused on your heart than anything. And I knew that I needed to press in, so I'm like, what does that look like, God? He says, push your heart toward me. And I'm like, well, that's simple. He says, yeah, it's simple. And so every time I pray, I worship, whether I'm fasting, reading the Word, I am in pursuit and pushing into Him. And when you practice His presence, it becomes easier to step in. It becomes a lot more tangible. And you see that it's easier to get out of the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit.
There's so many secrets. We don't have time for you to share them all. But Joshua has a gift to prophetically tell you your spiritual DNA. Better yet, he teaches you how to find out from God for yourself. Be right back. Hello, YouTube Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Joshua, you literally encountered the eye of God. Explain that.
Yeah, so in my pursuit over the years, it led to this moment. You know, it's not something that just happens overnight in that sense of that level. I knew that I needed to, you know, pray for a pure heart. The Bible says, he who has a pure heart shall see God. And so in this moment, I was taken in the Spirit and I saw a massive tunnel with a light at the end of it, you know. And I was like, I need to be there. So I jumped in the tunnel. And as I'm flying toward the light, I felt the breath, the teeth, the claws of millions of demons that were encircling that tunnel, trying to get me to take my focus off the light and bring it to them. Because I knew the moment, I even shifted my focus, which is another revelation, I would have lost the experience. And so I popped out the other end and I look at this massive light with lightning all around it. It was as big as a globe. I mean, I was the size of an ant. And I'm like, what is this thing? And you know, in the Spirit, you move at the speed of thought. So the moment I thought, I'm moving closer toward it. And so I get closer toward it and I said, let me touch it. And so when I touched it, I was so electrocuted that I knew it would kill a normal human being millions of times over. It was just...
Was that what the Bible refers to as the fire of God?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it's his power, his everything just sourcing through you. It's just the electricity is tangible. And even when you operate in the power of God, you can feel the electricity come on you like a blanket and you know that God is wanting to do things and operate. I was like, I got electrocuted. I'm like, what in the world is that? And I began to back up. And you know when you're in the woods or somewhere in the country, you know, a flash of lightning can light up the whole sky and you can see everything for a split second, right? And so I hear thunder that was not natural. This was thunder. It can't even be described in a dictionary. It was just so just powerful. And when I'm hearing it, next thing was a flash of lightning. And when it was a flash of lightning, I saw what I touched, and it was the eye of God. And I saw a massive being, long white hair, golden crown, eyes like lightning, and it terrified me, but I was also amazed at the same time. So it was like two worlds, and I'm like, and when I did that, I'm falling back to my body, and I'm just going back that tunnel again, and I'm like, what just happened? I come back, and I see the film was like a fiery amber color all over me, and I remember saying these words, the glory of God is upon me, and I woke up.
Did that glory stay with you for a while?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was, oh, amazing.
Is that the same glory I feel when you pray for me or pray for other people? Because it's unlike most other people that pray for me. When he prays, it stays on me. It's not just for a second I feel it.
You even go in the streets and you pray for non-believers and that glory stays on them.
Absolutely.
I guess they have to become believers when that happens.
Can't deny that.
What did this going into the eye of God do for you? Why did he want you to have that experience?
It changed my life because my prayer and persistency was one thing that I found in the Bible. And it was in my pursuit of the heart. And I began to see that the prophet Samuel, when he was choosing the king, he was like, well, obviously this is the Lord's anointed. He says, no. I don't look at man the way man looks at man. I look at the heart. And I was like, whoa, that's amazing. And then I saw in Jeremiah, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, test the heart and reward those according to their motives. So I knew that God looked at people differently. And I said, I must see as you see. And I said, if that's the way it is, and Jesus says, I do as what my Father in heaven does, then I must see the way you see. And I began to pray, God, let me see how you see. Let me begin able to see people's hearts. And if there's an area of assignment that needs to be birthed or whatever it may look like, just help me to see as you see. And so when I had that encounter and I touched his eye, everything began to change from my perspective of sight, of being able to discern and know who was around me in a protective way where God protected me, but also gave me insight to being able to help people come out of scenarios or speak life into their purpose or whatever it may be.
Yeah, you know, I noticed you do that in your meetings. Mm-hmm. However, in your brand new book and CDs, this same gifting transfers and people hear from God for themselves on their purpose. Have you ever prayed, God, what is my purpose? What do you want me to do? Of course you have.
Yes.
I have. Well, I believe that Joshua has been given a ministry from heaven that will facilitate you hearing God in these areas. Now, God has given you, he goes in front of witches, Satanists, gangs, and the power of God just knocks them away. Tell me one person.
One person?
Yeah.
All right, so I was praying in the streets of West Palm Beach, and I remember this was one of the very training moment that me and, you know, God had with me. And I remember seeing an actual Satanist there with, you know, pentagrams and, you know, all this stuff over him. And I knew that this person served the devil like I served God, right? And of course, demonstration is what you want to do because you cannot deny demonstration. And I want to go over there and God says, don't show power, show love. And I'm like, that's unusual. I'm like, okay. So I sit beside him and I look at him and he turns to me and says, I have more power than you. Immediately already trying to get me in the flesh.
Into fear, too.
Yes, into fear. I'm like, oh, man. You know, because I'm perceiving all the demons around this person and literally the covenants he had made with the enemy. And I said, no, I began to share the love of Jesus. And as I'm sharing the love of Jesus, he began to growl and get mad. And I felt, which was very wild because I'd never experienced that before, I felt an overwhelming sense of joy and love that I just cared for him so much, even in that mess. And he began to get up and swing at me. And when he began to do that, I was smiling, I was just going to let it happen. And he stopped, he froze. And I had a flash, I saw an angel holding his arm. And he was like, what happened? I said, an angel's holding you. And he says, well, what is this? I told you that the Lord loves you. And I saw one little tear come out and I knew there was an opportunity to minister to him. And I began to share to him the gospel and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And he says, what do I do? And I said, just repeat after me. Renounce his covenants, renounce the altars and everything he had done in the occult. Gave him a hug, power of God hit him. He walked away never the same.
And you know, another thing that is wonderful, the Bible says, if you want wisdom, ask God. So Josh did that. But this was way beyond his pay grade, so to speak. He's got inventions, businesses. Just tell me, in the gym, you bumped into some people that are very prosperous investors. You know that much about the market, nothing. Yeah. Zilch, what happened?
Yeah, so I owned a gym in Palm Beach. God was able to supernaturally get me there, although I have a GED, so I don't have the natural education to even sustain where he had placed me. And I was walking around with millionaires and billionaires with a B, hand in hand, sowing principles into them. So one of the things we need to know about winning souls is what level are they at? Are they ready to be harvesters? Can you go right in and just, you know, pray and get them, or is there times where you have to sow seed into them? And so over time, most of them, I had to sow seed into her principles, and it began to change their heart. And before you know it, they began to give their life to Christ, renounce witchcraft, all these things. But they trusted me. And so I would be in the gym, and all these people loved watching the stock. They were always at the TV in the corner, and they're like, oh, I need to do this, and oh, I need to do that. And I would pick up words of knowledge like, oh, you've got that stock? Oh, you need to buy more and do this. And I didn't know what I was talking about. But they went and did it. And when they went and did it, they're like, you're not going to believe your strategy and you got us this much money or that. And I'm sitting here like, what in the world, God? I'm like, that's amazing, but what's going on here, you know? And it was powerful.
So you had a successful gym, but that wasn't your purpose. You were just representing the Holy Spirit in this gym.
Absolutely. So the gym was amazing. I'm thinking, you know, I'm here. You know, it's like you always get to that moment, I'm here. This is my baby. This is what God's called me to do. And He says, give it all up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? How do you just give up what you positioned me for, especially in this crowd? Because you don't just enter this type of arena of people unless God transitions you there or they open the door for you. And so I obeyed the Holy Spirit, and we moved, and God began to do a work within us. And that's when the ministry is birthed, and it just began to go from there.
Joshua, I want you to pray whatever God has put on your heart right now for those viewing right now.
Awesome. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you begin to move in the hearts of the people like never before, that the atmosphere of your presence becomes so weighty, so tangible in their life that they cannot deny that you are a living God in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that every storm that has encircled the people to keep them in a state of despair is removed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I speak and prophesy that the movement of the bodies will begin to take place, that people will experience healing, transformation, deliverance of mind in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I pray that you begin to touch their very heart in this moment right now, that they shall be granted a deeper access, a deeper fellowship to your presence in the mighty name of Jesus, just as the word declares that deep crieth out unto deep. The depths of God's heart cries out to the depths of your heart, and He is ushering you in at this very moment in the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare a complete and total turnaround in your life. May ideas, perspectives, strategies, innovations, inventions, everything that God wants to release within your spirit man in the realm of creativity is released upon you for the glory of His kingdom in Jesus' mighty name.
Hello, I'm here with Joshua Giles, and I'm interviewing him in his brand new book and brand new and exclusive 3-CD audio teaching series, Secrets to an Encounter with God. And yeah, you have to understand, Joshua, I interview a lot of people, but the presence of God that I'm a feeler, so I know what's going on in that arena. And the presence of God is not only extremely strong upon you, but it's transferable. And I mean, you prayed a simple prayer for me over the phone, 30 seconds or less, and I felt it for about 15 or 20 minutes afterwards. Now, you make a bold statement for the title of your brand new book, Secrets to an Encounter with God. You really believe everyone can have encounters with God like it's normal for you.
Absolutely.
You believe it's normal for everyone.
Absolutely.
Explain.
It's normal for everyone. God wants us to. The veil was torn when Jesus shed His blood on the cross. There's access, and God wants us to have that mountaintop access, and it's accessible to you because He is trying to transform our hearts and bring us to a place of holiness that He may use us here on earth with His power.
You have a passion. I mean, it's most people, their passion is, I want to have intimacy with God. You have a passion for everyone to have intimacy with God. What's going on when you teach? It's a brand new book, but what goes on when you teach this to people?
When I teach this to people, when you encounter God, it changes your very DNA, your perspective, your thoughts, your everything about you is transformed. You cannot have an encounter in God and be the same. It's impossible. And so when I experienced that, I knew I had to spread it to the world. I had to apply the same principles that I learned through my walk to help others climb the mountain so that they could have their secret to encounter with God.
I have to ask you this, though, Joshua. The presence I feel coming out of you, it is so tangible. Is that for everyone viewing us that makes Jesus their Messiah and Lord?
Absolutely. You know, the tangible presence of God is for us to access, but there are secrets, there are mysteries hidden in the Word that when we begin to pursue Him with the right heart, because here's the thing, God says, I don't look upon man as man looks upon man, but I look at the heart and I reward them according to their motive. So when I started to understand there was two realms of the heart, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? But God tests the heart. And so if I can't know my own heart, I must search the Scripture and see what God does not like about the heart and what God does want our heart to perform in. And so I begin to really renounce those bad things that God did not like, and I begin to pray, prophesy, fast, decree the things that God wanted my heart to be like, and that's when everything changed.
And the 3-CD audio that you did for us that the people in the studio were raving about, tell us about that.
Yeah, the 3-CD audio really gives practical examples of how we as believers do not have to have some wild system in order to access God. No, we come to Him as little children. And when we understand who we are in Christ and the principles He has laid out, everyone can access Him. And it is your right as a believer.
And the bonus CD, this is worth the whole package, but not really. Everything that has been imparted to Josh, you want, trust me. The bonus CD is Supernatural Wisdom, Favor, and Divine Appointments. Now, who doesn't want wisdom, favor, and divine appointments that are supernatural? There are people that are entrepreneurs. There are people in business. There are people developing inventions. But that's for special people. Do you think everyone can move in supernatural wisdom of God in these arenas?
Absolutely. Everyone can do it. See, God can visit you in many different variables and perspectives, whether it's strategy, innovation, ideas. You know, you may be limited in a salary of, say, 40-something thousand, but God gives you an invention that could make millions or to transform the company you're in. So there's so many ways that God can visit you in this perspective. If it's happening to the non-believer, why can't it happen to the believer? And it's accessible to everyone. We just have to know how to tap in and create that atmosphere where God begins to drop ideas, strategies, and really carve a path in that realm.
And the thing that's so amazing to me is you take no credit for these things. You have no knowledge of some of the things you've invented. You didn't study them in school. Mm-hmm. It's as a matter of fact, you would have probably run from courses like that in college. But this is available to us. And when the Scripture says the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the believer, it's you. It's not someone down the street. It's you that are going to have encounters with God. It's you that's going to radiate the presence of God wherever you go. The new book and brand new and exclusive 3-CD audio teaching series, Secrets, and their heavenly secrets to an encounter with God, and the bonus CD, Supernatural Wisdom, Favor, and Divine Appointments. You've seen Shark Tank? This is Supernatural Shark Tank.